Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. All right, let's hear what Rick has to say as we go into part two of a message called What to Do When You Get a Second Chance.
Circumstances may change me, but they never change my mission. I may go through all kinds of breaking situations where I am broken financially, or I'm broken spiritually, or I'm broken emotionally, or my relationships are a mess and they're all broken, or my body is broken by a disease. I can have all kinds of circumstances, and yes, they will change me, but they never change my life mission. Everything you've gone through in life has changed you. None of it has changed the mission that God made you for before you were born. He decided that you would do. Nothing has changed that. I said in our last session, there is no plan B for your life. I don't care what's happened to you. There's no plan B for your life. You're still on plan A. In fact, before you were born, when God decided what He wanted you to do with your life, whether you did it or not, is your choice. And that's a big mistake, to not do what you're created to do. But before you were even born, He decided that. He already knew all the stupid things you do, all the dumb decisions you'd make, all the sins you'd commit, all of the problems you'd face, all of the losses you'd have. He factored it all in. He factored it all in. Your life mission has not changed from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. And so Jonah's going, okay, I'm going to get on track, and I'm going to make my mission my top priority. God has no plan B. Remember this verse? I showed it to you last week. The Bible says in Romans 11:29, God gives you gifts, and His call, God has called you to do some things with your life. God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. No sin you commit can change God's call or God's gifts in your life. You still have the same gifts and you still have the same call in your life. Let me show it to you in the same verse in other translations. In the Living Bible, God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on His promises. That's why when God had a call for Moses, yeah, Moses went out and murdered a guy. It did not change His call. Here's another verse. In Romans 11:29, in God's Word translation, God never changes His mind when He gives someone gifts or when He calls someone. So it is in still full force. So I live with profound gratitude when I know I've been given a second chance. And I get on gear and I start using my life for what I was supposed to use it for in the first place. That's the second thing. Here's the third thing you do that Jonah did. Don't delay, obey today. Okay? Don't delay, obey today. When God gives you a second chance, this is no time for procrastination. Well, I think I will do what God made me to do, but I'm going to have a little bit more fun with my life first. I think I'm going to do what God wants me to do, but I've got to make a bunch of money first. Or I've got to get married first, or I got to get through school first, this is not a time to procrastinate on your life mission. When you're given a second chance, you go at it immediately. You don't delay, you obey today. It's time to get going. In verse 3, Jonah chapter 3, here's the third thing Jonah did. This time, now he gets the second message, go and do what I told you to do in the first place. Jonah immediately, don't delay, headed to Nineveh, it's a big city, in obedience to the word of the Lord. I bet you he ran. I think when that great fish spit him up on the beach, he probably hit the ground running. And he's probably Usain Bolt. You know, he's running all the way to Nineveh, which is 550 miles from the coastline of Israel. It's in inner where Iraq is today. It's up where near where Mosul is in Iraq. And he probably ran. Would you? If God had given you a second chance like Jonah, don't you think you'd probably say, I'm gonna get with whatever God told me to do in the first place. I spent enough time going the wrong direction with my life. Now I'm gonna make up for some time. I'm gonna go fast in the right direction. I want you to write this down on your outline. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Any parent knows this. If a dad tells his son, son, I want you to go take the garbage out right now. And he says, well, I will, Dad, if I get to it next week. I want you to go clean up your stuff in the garage. I will in a couple days. I need you to come help. Mom says to one of the kids, I need you to come help wash the dishes. Well, I will in 2 days. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it now, not later, not to give him some excuse. So you don't delay, you obey today. What has God told you to do? And you're still dragging your feet. I mean, you know, you're supposed to be doing it, but you're still dragging your feet. For instance, we know that God wants every one of us to give some part of our life in sacrificial service where we're not paid to do it. We're just helping other people out of the goodness of our heart. We're volunteering to serve. It's called your ministry. And God says, I want everybody to, and you know that, but you're not volunteering anywhere. You're all your time is based on you, is built on you. There's no place where you're doing something totally unselfish for other people. You know that God says, I want you to be like me. I want you to learn to be a servant. I want you to learn to serve. You know God says, give the first part of your income back to me as a sign of your thanks. You don't do it. I know it, I'm just not doing it. Some of you know, God says, when you, like Jesus, when he's 30 years old as an adult, he's baptized. We're not talking about his dedication as a baby. When Jesus is 30 years old, he goes out and publicly as an adult makes his public profession of faith. Have you done that? Have you done that as an adult? You know Jesus said to do it. He commanded it. Be baptized like he did. He wouldn't have done it unless he wanted you to do it. He modeled it as a 30-year-old. Some of you haven't done that yet. So what is it that you're putting off that God tells you to do? You're still dragging your feet. You know, if you're a businessman, you really need to read the book of Proverbs and study it because it has all of the principles for successful business in spades. It's an unbelievable book. You could build your business, multinational corporation, on the principles in God's word in the book of Proverbs. One of the principles in the book of Proverbs says, when you know something's not right, like in your business, you fix it immediately. And he says, if you've gotten into a bad financial commitment, get out of it quickly. You don't procrastinate. He says, do it now. Let me just show it to you. Here on the screen, the Bible says in Proverbs 6:3-4, get out of it as quickly as you possibly can. Swallow your pride. Go and humbly beg to cancel the deal. Don't put it off. Do it now, and don't rest until you do. That's pretty clear. He's saying you don't procrastinate. If you made a bad financial decision, get out of it immediately. God's not saying think about it and do it maybe in a couple years. He says get out of it right now. Do it. And he says if you're wise, you do it. If you don't do it, it's foolish. But a lot of times God gives us commands and we go, well, I'll think about that for a while. No, we need to don't delay, obey today. Now here's the fourth thing that Jonah does. This one takes a little time to explain, but it's real important. When God gives me another chance, I'm gonna live with profound gratitude. I'm gonna make my mission my number one priority. I'm going to not delay, I'm gonna obey today. Number four, accept my responsibility to warn others. Accept my responsibility to warn others. Now, let me explain this. This is not your whole life mission, but it is part of it. It was certainly part of Jonah's life mission. And if you are a follower of Christ, there are going to be some times in your life when you are called on to warn some people out of love. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. This time Jonah immediately headed to Nineveh in obedience to the word of the Lord. And then in Jonah, the rest of it says, now the city of Nineveh, Jonah 3, 3 and 4. Now the city of Nineveh was so big that it took 3 days to walk around it. But after walking a day, Jonah warned the people. Circle that word warned again. We're gonna come back to that. Jonah warned the people. Nineveh, I've told you this before, was the most powerful and the biggest city in the world at this time. Assyria is the predominant empire in the known world. And the capital of Assyria is Nineveh. It's a huge city with big boulevards and temples and waters and parks and pools and all kinds of wide boulevards. And it was a huge, huge city. It's the biggest city in the world. And as a result, it's very prideful. And he says, when Jonah gets there, it takes about 3 days to walk around it. That's because there were other cities around Nineveh, kind of like LA is not just one city. It's a metropolitan area of a lot of other cities. And all of those cities together would take you a long time to walk around. And he says, I want you to go and warn them. And it says, after a day of walking, Jonah warned the people. Now, what is a warning? Because if this is part of your life mission, then you need to know how to do a warning. A warning is cautionary advice about a danger, a trap, or a problem. That's a warning. When I give cautionary advice about a danger or a trap or a warning or a problem. Now, God built into your body warning systems. And there are certain things that when your body is not healthy, you get a fever, your blood pressure goes up. There are all kinds of signs that doctors take. There are warning signs in your body that things are out of whack. But we often don't even pay attention to our own bodies. We don't listen to what God tells us. We don't listen to what our bodies tell us. We push ourselves too far, too hard. We don't get enough sleep, and on and on and on. So God has to bring people in our lives to warn us. Because we're not smart enough many times to listen to God's warning or even to listen to the warnings of our own body, our own conscience. So God has to bring people in our lives to warn us. You know, as I've traveled all around the world, I have a hobby. One of my hobbies is collecting stupid warning signs. I thought this might be an appropriate time to show you some of my collection. Okay, from around the world. So let me just show you a few of these. Here's one, it's a warning sign. Keep your hands out of the machinery. Look at that, that's almost comical, like your fingers are getting smashed. I wasn't afraid of that, I just laughed at it when I saw it, because it looked like you're getting all smashed up. Here's another one. If the door does not open, do not enter. That's a very good warning, okay? That's profound. Here's another one. Caution, be aware that the balcony is not on the ground floor. Yeah, so if you lean over, you might fall further than you thought because the balcony's not on the ground floor. Okay, that's kind of obvious. This is funny. I think I took this in Australia. It was a trampoline place. No, it's in England because it's pounds. And then it says, warning, barbed wire in use. I mean, who's going to go on a trampoline that if you jump too high, you run into the barbed wire? I mean, somebody who hates kids, I guess. All right, here, I love this one. Big scary laser. Do not look into beam with remaining eye. Okay, all right, somebody had a sense of humor. All right, big scary laser. This is in Houston. No drowning. This is on a seawall. I'm going, yeah, okay, I'll make sure that, because you told me I won't do it now. All right, no drowning. I mean, make sure. Warning, these peanuts may contain peanuts or peanut byproduct. So eat at your own risk. Enjoy. All right. I mean, really, I like this one. No trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will be shot again. All right. Okay, so we're not always really smart when we get these warning signs. Here's another one. Oh, this, you've seen this on the road to Phoenix. State prison, next exit. Do not pick up hitchhikers. I passed that 100 times when I used to go to Kay's parents in Phoenix. And so I shot that picture one day. State prison, next exit. Don't pick up hitchhikers. All right, here's another one. This was in Australia, these toilets. If the towel dispenser is empty, please use your clothes. What? What? Really? I just, then it said, thank you, the management. Yeah, well, thank me, right. I'm gonna go out with, well, my clothes. Oh, this was a really good one. You may be at risk for throat cancer if, and it has three things. Number two is have a throat or mouth. Okay, so if you don't have a throat or mouth, don't worry about this. You will not have throat cancer if you don't have a throat or a mouth, all right? Now, oh, please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on the fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you. All right. I got this one in England. Touching wires causes instant death. $200 fine. As if death is not enough. I want to scare you with the $200 fine. Okay, Newcastle. Oh, this is good. The dog, danger. The dog has a gun and refuses to take his medication. And then this was one of my favorite. Unattended children will be given an energy drink and taught to swear. So we have all these warning signs in the world because we're not really good at paying attention to warnings. And yet God wants us to humbly accept warnings from other people and humbly and lovingly offer them to people in love. So this is what the fourth thing that Jonah has to do. After walking a day into the city of Nineveh, Jonah warned the people. Now, this mission of warning people is a ministry of every follower of Jesus Christ. And you've probably never been taught this, okay? Warning shows that you love God when you warn other people. It also shows that you love other people. If you knew that a bridge was out and I'm speeding down the country road at 50 miles an hour and you don't tell me that the bridge is out, is that loving? No. No, it's actually hateful. It means you don't love me. If you truly love me, you're gonna tell me, hey, Rick, the bridge is out at the end of this road. If I walk up to the cliff and I'm about to fall off and you go, Rick, you might wanna step back a little bit. That ground is unstable there. That's an act of love. Warning is an act of love, not an act of arrogance, not an act of hypocrisy, not an act of superiority, not an act of self-righteousness. Warning is an act of love. And God doesn't tell Jonah, he doesn't say, I want you to go move into the city of Nineveh and be a good example. We'd all like that one. I want you to move to this wicked city and just be a good example. You don't have to say anything, just be a good example. He doesn't tell him that. Part of Jonah's life mission is, you're gonna go to the city and you're gonna warn them. You're gonna warn them. It's part of your Christian responsibility. I actually looked this up, and the New Testament has over 100 examples and verses on the ministry or the responsibility of you and me warning other people that we love. Has anybody ever told you that? That's part of your job of following Christ is to warn other people, just like Jonah was told by God to warn? Paul, in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, says this, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, notice, with tears. Now, why would he warn you with tears? Because he cares about them. You warn because you care. You warn because you love. You warn people because you care about them. Now, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, second half, it says this. So Jonah warned the people. Here's the warning. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Oh, that's a great positive message. In 40 days, the Nineveh will be destroyed. Is this going to be a welcome message? No. Is this going to make Jonah popular? No. Is this how you attract social media friends? No. Now, I want you to notice, Jonah gets this all wrong. Jonah shows no compassion at all. He doesn't have any care for the people of Nineveh. In fact, he doesn't want to be there. We already know that. He hates these people. He's racially prejudiced against them. They are the enemy. He's politically on the opposite side of them. And he's being told to go to his political opponents and tell them and warn them about God. And he doesn't want to warn them. And when he goes to the city of Nineveh, he announces that he does the minimum possible. I mean, he announces it in a matter-of-fact tone. He's as brief as possible. In fact, his sermon is only 7 words. Some of you would like a 7-word sermon. But he only has 7 words. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. There's no compassion. There's no love. That's about the minimum you can do. And yet God still used it. He had the wrong motivation. He had no love. This is very, very different from most prophets, because most prophets, when they warned people, they give these passionate speeches, and they're long and they're impassioned and they're warning and they're pleading. And Jonah just walks into the city and goes, "You guys are gonna die, bye." That's all he says. He doesn't care 2 bits about this nation or these people. "You guys are gonna die, bye. While I go to the sky, you're gonna fry." You know, and this is very, very different. Now, what is Jonah doing? Well, it's as if he's saying to God, "There, God, I did it, okay? Are you happy now? Okay, I didn't wanna do this. I didn't wanna go to these people. I don't like these people, but I told them what you said." He said the minimum. He said it with no love. He goes, "There, are you happy now?" He gets it all wrong. And yet still, God used him. Now, why was Jonah so short and so passionless and so unloving in sharing his warning? Because he knew something that you need to know. I want you to write this down. When God gives a warning, write this down. When God gives a warning, it's a good sign. When God gives a warning, it's not a negative sign. It's a good sign because it means he wants to give you another chance. If God doesn't want to give you another chance, he doesn't give you a warning. If God gives you a warning, it means he's going to cut you some slack and give you another chance. It's a good sign. People think warnings are negative. They're actually an example or an illustration or an expression of love. Because you're going, "I'm warning you, and so you won't go through all this pain. You won't go through all these problems." Now, I'm not gonna ask for confession or to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have been driving down the street or the freeway one day and you saw a red light in the back of your window. Okay, and you pull over, and the officer comes up and says, "May I see your driver's license?" And you're nervous, and then you fumble around and trying to give an explanation why you're going 90 miles an hour or whatever, and you give this explanation, and then you hear the sweetest words when the officer said, "Well, today I'm just gonna give you a warning." When somebody says, "I'm gonna just give you," are you happy or sad? You're happy. Why? Because you're not gonna be judged. You're not going to jail. You're not paying the fine. You don't get the ticket. The warning is actually good news. "I'm just gonna let you off with a warning." And when God says to Jonah, "I want you to go in and warn him that I'm about to destroy the city," he's saying, "I really don't wanna destroy the city." If he wanted to, he wouldn't warn them. Does this make sense? It's a good positive thing, because when you, I'm happy when I get a warning. It means I'm not going to pay the fine. I'm not gonna serve the time. I'm not gonna whatever, because it's just a warning.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
You know, I know that you would love to live a life of significance. But have you ever wondered if you could make a contribution so unique that no one else in all the world could do what you've accomplished? Well, you need to stop wondering, because God created you to make a difference in the world. He created you to fulfill a mission that only you can accomplish. I know you may be thinking that God couldn't use you like that, but you know what? He can. And not only can He, but He will. It really doesn't matter what you've done or what you've failed to do. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It is never too early or too late to start on the mission that God has planned for you. And that's why I'm so excited to let you know about a brand new Bible study from Pastor Rick called Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah. In this study, Rick is going to show you how God had an incredible mission for Jonah, and it went well beyond being swallowed by a big fish. Jonah's story is really about second chances and redemption, and the rescue of an entire nation. And more importantly, it's the story of God, the one who shows grace to everyone He created. You know, the story of Jonah is really like a blueprint from God. It shows all of us how He can use you to do significant things, no matter where you are in life right now. And just like Jonah, you're going to find that pursuing God's mission for your life is the greatest adventure that you will ever go on. And we're going to send you Pastor Rick's brand new Bible study, Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah, to say thank you for your gift to Daily Hope, because it helps us share the life-transforming Word of God with the world. Just go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.